Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, my name is Justina Adorno and I'm with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, listeners and viewers, wherever you may be in the world right now. You are tuned in to Chris Gordon's Hellblazer Biz. Thank you all for joining. I appreciate the support, as always. I'm going to bring you another fantastic guest shortly. Now, this guest is a fantastic actress, and the TV show that she's in on ABC is about to air on the 17th of June, so Monday. So this interview is fresh off the exclusive press. Hey. And the show is executive produced by Eva Longoria, loosely based off the Spanish series Grand Hotel, and it follows the extravagant lives of the Mendoza Hotelier family, which is comprised of the charismatic father, Santiago Mendoza, his glamorous second wife, Gigi, and their adult children. The hotel's loyal staff and patrons round out a contemporary fresh take on the upstairs-downstairs story. Wealthy and beautiful guests bask in luxury, but scandals escalate in debt and explosive secrets hide beneath picture-perfect exterior. And my guest plays Yoli, one of the daughters. She's the kind-hearted spitfire daughter of Gigi, who's constantly compared to her thinner and more beautiful twin sister, Carolina, who's played by Felisa Ramirez. And she's used to being called Gordita by her family, but she's not afraid to stand up to prominent guests who try to do the same. So without further ado, I bring to you the fantastic Justina Adorno. Everyone, I have the absolute pleasure of talking to Justina Adorno today, who is starring as Rolly in the Grand Hotel, which is premiering on Monday, 17th. So, hey, thanks for joining me.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Oh, no, you're welcome. I appreciate you taking the time, as always. As I say, I've already said, I'm totally jealous of the fact that you're sat there in a pool outside the hotel in the sun. It's just really rubbing it
just
in.
Just bringing another element of Grand Hotel into the interview.
Yeah. Nice background. Is that actually the way you filmed it? Just out of interest?
Yeah, this is the Fountain Blue. We filmed our pilot here last March, mm-hmm. and we came back this week to have our premiere launch with Bachelor Nation, and yesterday was our screening, and it was so much fun. It was like a dream come true. It's amazing.
Fantastic. It's a cracking location, to be fair. It's just looking in the background there, it's a pretty imposing hotel.
It's not a bad view. I'm really grateful that we got to film it here. We were basically here for a month, mm-hmm. when we filmed the pilot. Wow. And then they built the sets that were identical, mm-hmm. in Manhattan Beach Studios in California.
All right, excellent. That's obviously all for the interior shots and stuff, because I'm pretty sure filming inside a busy working hotel would be quite hard.
Yeah, it was a little hard. And when we filmed the pilot, it was actually during spring break.
Right.
But, you know, Eva is the one who does the impossible. And we filmed the entire pilot here during spring break.
Fantastic. That's Eva Longoria. I can't even say her name, of course. She's actually produced it as well. Has she written it or is she just producing it?
She's an executive producer and she also directed an episode and she's actually in the show as well.
Oh, excellent.
She just does it all.
One of these people who can just go in there and just, do every single part of the show. Well, the series itself, I mean, it's loosely based off, there's a Spanish series, Grand Hotel, not that I'm going to be able to speak Spanish, but it's kind of based off that, is it?
It is. And then, you know, Eva fell in love with the original show and, you know, she got with our producer, Ben Spector, and Brian Tannen, who wrote it and made it a more modern, you know, more Americanized, obviously, because it's, mm-hmm. set in Miami Beach. And, you know, the original, it starts off with the first hotel that gets electricity, and ours, we lose our electricity on our first episode because of a hurricane party. So there's a lot of similarities, but it's very, very different. There are a lot of characters that, you know, are still inspired in our series, but it's completely different. And I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's going to be really, really awesome.
Fantastic.
You know, I think people who were fans of the original show mm-hmm. will appreciate, you know, the elements that we took on and everything that we've contributed and changed.
Excellent, excellent. And of course, I mean, you play the live wire daughter of Gigi in the Mendoza family. Is that right?
Yeah, I play one of the fraternal twin sisters, and we're a blended family that owns the hotel. We're the last family owned hotel in Miami Beach.
Excellent. That sounds pretty.
She's just kind of the black sheep of the family.
Yeah. What else can you tell me about the characters? Anything? I mean, obviously, you don't want to ruin it for anyone listening. So, where's she come from?
I don't want to ruin too much about Yoli, but she's definitely, you know, super genuine, very forgiving person. You know, you'll see a lot of sibling rivalry, a lot of family drama within her storyline, and there's a lot of twists. There's a lot of twists. I feel like a lot of our characters, you know, our storylines are unexpected. So okay. I would definitely say that Yoli's is for sure unexpected.
Excellent. I mean, there's one thing here I've seen which does say is that you're Yoli, Eve has been constantly compared. Can't even say the name. Change that. Yoli is she's constantly compared to her thinner and more beautiful twin sister. Apparently. Oh, and you've gone. I've lost you. Oh, I lost you there.
I lost you.
What
was that last question?
I was going to say, yeah, because one thing I've read apparently is the character of Yoli is one thing she's got a battle with is she's constantly being compared to her thinner and more beautiful twin sister, apparently. So, I mean, if that's the case, your twin sister must be a stick looking at you.
Oh, stop it. Well, you know, it's difficult, you know, within the family and with friends and in general to not be compared to other people. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely more difficult when you're being compared to your sister, let alone your twin sister, and being the lesser, apparently. But no, Felice, who plays my sister, she's beautiful, beautiful inside and out. Like, I love her like she is my sister. I feel like she is like my twin soul sister. You know, we're very different, but we are very similar as well. So it's a beautiful thing to be compared, but mm-hmm. you know, we're all different. And so I think just like everyone else, Yoli kind of embraces what she, you know, her differences between her and her sister, you know, like she truly does try to embrace it regardless of how much people try to put her down for it.
Fair enough. And that's a good way to sort of be and to sort of, yeah. Right. And just to, yeah, just like, yeah, let it duck off, water off a duck's back, as they say.
Exactly. It's like you're going to be compared to a whole bunch of things and a whole bunch of people, you know, even if it is your twin sister, you know, you're still you. You're still uniquely you. And my God, it's so much better to be different than to be exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if we were all the same, life would be boring.
It would be so boring.
Exactly.
I'd hate it.
But, and so where did you, you know, so would I, to be fair, it'd be dull. So where's your background from? What decided that this is the kind of vocation and the kind of career that you wanted to get into, being an actress?
You know, I've always been such a storyteller. I love watching stories, listening to stories, performing stories, you know, like, so I've always been drawn to the industry. And I think like around middle school when I had an assignment of, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Yeah. I was like, I want to be an actress, you know, and for some reason, you know, I didn't think that was difficult or impossible or it wasn't an option. You know, I was just like, that's what I want to do. And that's what I want to do. And so I kind of like just listened to the universe giving me little signals and opportunities in that direction, and I took them. And you know, I was, it was always enjoyable. It was always something that I found, you know, connection with, and I felt at home with. And so I just listened to it and, you know, just never gave up because it was something that I've always been passionate about and I've invested in. And I felt like I was kind of good in, and I wasn't really good at anything else except for, you know, loving animals. I was like, I'm good with animals and I'm good at talking and storytelling and at least trying to be as empathetic as possible. So I felt like acting was kind of meant for me.
Fair enough, fair enough. That sounds a great way in. I say I've grown up with a love of theatre as well, absolutely adore it, hence why I kind of do what I do now. This is just still just a hobby, but yeah, I mean, I was in school doing theatre, but I stopped and went into a sort of changed career into IT, just direction of where my life was at the time. And I do regret missing out and not following it through, because I would have loved it.
Well, listen,
I love storytelling, but you're never too old.
You're never too old. Literally, you're never too old. Like, it's we're just people, and people are at different stages in their life, different ages in their life, and I think that's the most beautiful part about that industry is that you can start at 80. You could start when you were 6 months, you know, like you could start and stop and start again. And, you know, it's all about how much you want it. So you can never say that it's over, you know, and you could change direction. You could start directing or you could jump into writing, you know, like it's so adaptable. And I just always encourage anyone who has a passion for it to just do it.
Yeah.
Why not? You know?
Exactly. And that's the thing, is like, I think it's like you just said, it's the storytelling. And that's what the passion is, and there's a passion around it. And again, it's like, I mean, you know, people know my interviews sometimes go on and on because I just kind of like getting the stories out of people and listening to those. So it's quite good. I'll try not to keep this one going on too long because you just look like you're having too much fun.
You're good.
In that water.
You're good. No, it's so true though. Like what you're saying is completely true.
Yeah, it's something that I think is highly important in the world with all the rubbish and bad things that are going on, is to have that ability to have people in the entertainment arts and stuff, being able to tell a story, let people just go and have that escapism. So you having that passion to provide that for people is a nice symbiote relationship, which I think has been hundreds of years in the making between actors and an audience.
Exactly, because, you know, sometimes even if it's a dark story that's being told, you know, that sense of connection, a sense of feeling, wow, I know what that's like. Or even if you didn't, you know, like seeing another perspective and going, wow, that might have been what so-and-so was saying that they were going through.
Yeah.
Now I can see it, you know, outside of my own self, outside of my own personal experience with this person or myself. So, I mean, movies and television and theater completely saved my life, and it helped me understand people and myself. So it's great to give back in that way, especially with my character Yoli. I'm grateful to be telling Yoli's story. Because I feel like she has a story that hasn't necessarily been told that I've seen on television, and so I'm really excited for those out there that will connect with her to be like, oh, finally, thank you. You know, like everyone can see like what I'm going through. And I'm like, okay.
Exactly. Excellent. Excellent. I mean, a good hotel drama, it also obviously is something that people enjoy. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. I've seen the trailer, and obviously the production value of it just looks absolutely spectacular. You know, the sets are glamorous. God, right? You guys look absolutely glamorous in it. It's just,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They did an amazing job with setting the tone cinematically, and our, you know, they picked the perfect location, and wardrobe was amazing, and it just really captures the essence of dark glamour. Dark glamour. But you know, we have a lot of comedic moments. I mean, when there's when there's darkness, you have to laugh at it too.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit of everything, but yeah, foundationally, we're a drama.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. I mean, I've heard that you like to Netflix and chill as well. So how did it feel being in something like 7 Seconds, which is a Netflix show? So going from being able to just chill and watch Netflix to suddenly finding yourself being on there.
Oh my God. It was so amazing to have been a part of the Netflix family. It 7 Seconds really, really did help me learn so much about production as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was my first time I was on set with lines and had a character story, you know, and I got to watch it at home and I was just like, I'm really proud of this show, you know, like it was a story that needed to be told, you know. Mm-hmm. 7 Seconds is such a powerful show, and I'm glad that it was received really well, you know. Sometimes people don't like to hear the dark truth and, you know, like have that happiness when they Netflix and chill. But sometimes you do, you mm-hmm. know, have that private moment and go, gosh, this is so relevant. This is so important. And yeah, I was so grateful to have been part of 7 Seconds. I thought it was amazing.
Fantastic, fantastic. I mean, I hear you're a Disney fan as well. So being down in Miami,
I'm a bit of a Disney freak. I love Disney. Like literally Disney inspired me when I was a child in acting. I would mm-hmm. always act out all the Disney movies. I know all the words, all the songs. And so like to be a part of the Disney family is just like a dream come true, honestly.
Excellent. I mean, yeah, I mean, Disney, you can't beat Disney. Are you looking forward to The Lion King?
Heck yes. I am so excited. That trailer kills me every time I see the trailer and I'm already crying.
Yeah.
As soon as I see those animals, and I'm such an animal lover, so like, I love that they're doing this movie because it's the animals telling the story, you know, mm-hmm. and they make them look so real. And I'm so excited. I just saw Aladdin 2 weeks ago, like the day that it came out. I was like, I'm watching this.
I've not seen that yet.
And oh, it was so good. You got to go watch it.
Oh, I will.
Jasmine had the song, which was needed forever ago, because like Jasmine was my favorite Disney princess.
Mm-hmm.
She was super strong, independent, you know, trying to, you know, stick to her morals and what she really wanted, despite what society, you know, expected of her. And so I was really excited when she finally got her own song. So you got to watch it. It's really powerful and relevant for today.
Brilliant. I mean, I can't wait to see Aladdin. I mean, I love the original, obviously, Robin Williams, the late Robin Williams, comedic genius.
Oh, my God.
But from what I've seen, Will Smith does a really great job. I mean, he's a fantastic actor.
Oh, he does do a great job. I mean, it was a little hard for me to, like, you know, it's always hard when you're so close and attached to a film and they remake it. But they did such a great job with making it their own, but still sticking very true to the core of what the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can never replicate someone else's work. All you can do is do your own and bring yourself to it. And Will Smith did a great job. He did.
Excellent.
I love Will Smith too. I mean, I was saying how, like, you know, like there were certain moments where I was expecting, you know, those Robin Williams ad libs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he didn't say this, but you know, Will Smith did his own little thing, and I appreciated it and I loved it, and he made me laugh. I was laughing the whole time.
Excellent. I mean,
because he did his own thing, so I was like, oh, okay, this is funny. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I went to see Dumbo, and we also watched Dumbo in the cinema. I wasn't sure what to make of that one. It was very sad.
Huh?
I didn't know what to make of it, because obviously we know the original, and watching Dumbo, it was a fantastic film, and obviously, yeah, like you say, crying, because it was so sad, watching the animal cruelty, the way they meet, you know, obviously with the real elephants there and stuff, it really hits it more home, that you're like, wow, this...
Oh my God. Seriously. I feel like it was so underrated, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I cried the entire time, and they captured Dumbo in such a precious way. I was like, no, you can't do this to me, Disney. His little face, when he's like on the top of the tower and the fire.
Oh, when he's scared,
having a heart attack. Like, I know how the movie ends, but I was like, oh my God, if this elephant, something bad happens to him. I was freaking out. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great as well. Like you said, especially with relevance to sort of current society, I think Disney, very much like the James Bond movies, but Disney is a great example of showing through the ages how films and how the entertainment industry adapt to the changes in society. Whereas obviously back in original time when Dumbo was originally made, obviously the society was very strict. There was huge racial connotations in the original film with the crows and things like that. So moving that on and seeing the remake and obviously how they've reinterpreted it into a society which is more accepting and obviously which it should be, and it should have been back then. But obviously other films, like you've just said, with Aladdin, with Pocahontas, with Moana, you know, that a lot more it's showing that a lot more females can be leading, a lot more female character driven.
Oh my God, don't even get me started on Moana. If that movie was out when I was a child, oh my God. Princess Jasmine would have had a run for her money because I love Moana too. That movie was incredible. I think I've seen it just as many times as I probably would have seen it if I was five. I was like, let's watch it again and again. And every time I watched it, I was like, I got something new, and I thought it was so beautiful to just speak to like Mother Earth and like the core values, which is what I love about Disney, is that they really do throw that under that layer of like morality and like what really is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do that in Grand Hotel as well.
Excellent, excellent. And that's something I think is very relevant to put in and let people, you know, and sort of, it's like you say, storytelling, but it's also teaching. Yeah, teaching, that's the word.
Within stories, you learn a lesson. Those are my favorite stories. When I hear a story and I'm like, okay, end. And I'm like, what was the moral? I feel like I didn't learn anything. Then I feel disappointed. But if I feel like I've learned something, then I feel like it was a job well done. And I think that everyone will learn a lot of things through Grand Hotel and through each character storyline.
Excellent, excellent. You know, that is a very valid thing. And I say it's all about empowerment and things. And I'm very strong for the women in film. I do a lot of support of independent films as well. And there's so many, especially over here, in the States, obviously there are female directors, female, you know, pushing the limits and making some fantastic things now. And they're getting a voice, they're getting the stage to actually come out and do that. And it's such a great thing to see in such a male-dominated industry that, you know, it's starting. There's still a long way to go, but you can see the foundations are now getting further and further up.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm grateful that I'm coming into the industry at this time, you know, where all these other women have already created such a path for me, and it's been easier for me than it has been for them. But I mean, Eva's such a example of that, you know. She does everything and she gives back and she educates other women. She encourages women to support other women, and you know, she gives back to every community, all sorts of communities that have been lacking the voice. You know, she's definitely one for equality, and so am I, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity now to give in my own work and to stand with other women and people of color and say, I'm supporting you, we're supporting each other, and it's about damn time. Like, what the heck? Yeah. Every time that question is asked, I'm like, gosh, that's crazy. Why is it just now starting to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I'm happy that it is, at the very least.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, like I say,
half of our crew was women. You know, Eva made it a point that, you know, we had seven, you know, women and people of color as directors in our show. And I mean, it never felt like it was male dominant or any ethnicity dominant, population in our production. It all felt equal. Everyone's voice was accounted for, and mm-hmm. it was such a family and a community. Like, that was my favorite part, was just coming to set every day. I was like, can you please not schedule me all in one day? Can we
let me come back
in every day? Because I want to see everyone and bother everyone every day.
How is it working with Rosalind and Damien as your on-screen mum and dad?
Freaking amazing. I mean, Rosalind is, she's such a beautiful woman inside out. And I grew up watching a lot of Rosalind's stuff. So the day I met her, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, but she was so, everyone's so down to earth that that just flew out the window. You know what I mean? As soon as I was in their presence, I was just like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, like everyone's just so down to earth. And she's so funny. She's like one of the funniest ladies I've ever met. Roz is, she's forever the one to crack a joke, but she's also so elegant and poised. And she's another one who gives back and is so giving. And, you know, she and I bonded over, you know, animals, specifically dogs. You know, she does a lot of animal rescuing in Puerto Rico, which is something that I've always wanted to do. And so, like, to see her actually doing it, I'm like, oh my God, can't wait to, like, work with her to be a part of her dream and sharing my dream with her and seeing that it's possible. And so, like, she was so much fun. I loved her. She's like, I can't say she's like my mother because she's like a sister. I mean, we could be playing sisters. And Damien as well, like, you know, he's such a well-respected actor and he's brilliant, but he's also so freaking silly. I mean, he cracks jokes probably the most on set. He's always dancing and singing and you know, one time like we jammed out with our music and he's such a sweet, caring person as well. You know, like I literally can't say anything bad about anybody. I really can't. Even if I wanted to, I'd be like, I'm lying. I'm a liar. Now, I don't know if they could say the same thing about me. I hope they could say the same thing about me.
But I'm sure they would.
I loved everybody, which is why I feel like our pilot got picked up because they saw our chemistry on screen and it's the same off. So I'm excited to see the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it'd be fantastic. Fantastic. You mean, you did mention the animal rescue. I want to quickly talk about that before I let you go. It's obviously, I mean, you did say obviously Ava does that in where was it? She's done a rescuing dogs.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've volunteered in NYC as well, local animal shelters and stuff like that, and Little Wanderers and stuff. So you have done your bit.
I mean, I used to spend my weekends in college volunteering at the animal shelter in South Carolina just because I enjoyed my time there. And if there was poop in the cage, I was like, can I put in the cage? Like, I wanted to do that. Like, for some reason, that was fun for me. And I love taking care of, especially animals. And in New York, my two cats are rescued from the neighborhood that I live in. And anytime I saw a stray cat that looked like it needed help, you know, I found Little Wanderers on Instagram, and they've always been so supportive and helped me take in every cat that I reached out to them about. And so I can't wait to eventually help them more and give back more. And yeah, I mean, that's basically my goal besides storytelling, is like rescuing as many animals as possible in any way.
That's a very, I mean, your cats, I did see their names once. I saw them, you've had them. What are their names again? They've got some really cool names.
Catsby and Penny.
Yeah, great. The great Catsby.
Catsby and Penny. Catsby, because I love Leonardo DiCaprio. He's one of my favorite actors. So he's the great Catsby. And he definitely embodies that name. And Penny, she was found in a rainstorm. So, you know, find a penny, pick her up. You know?
Oh, sweet.
She's my little... She's my little baby girl. She's like the sweetest cat ever. Aww. I love her.
We've got this one, which is, I don't know if you can see that very well, clearly.
Oh, that's your baby?
Yeah, that's Pepper. She was a rescue cat. She was from Lithuania. She was
Pepper.
She's a European short hair, so she's really fat. but she was bred, or I think she was bred in a kit for a kitten farm. And she was found.
Oh, I love them. I love them fat.
Yeah, so she's brought over here and obviously rescued, and that's our other one. She's a little...
Oh, my goodness.
She's a little...
What ginger. A pretty she, baby. That's a great picture.
Yeah, it was...
She's a model.
She is, isn't she? That was on that, you know, on the iPhone, what do you call it? That portrait mode on iPhone.
Portrait mode?
Yeah, I was playing around with it, and I snapped that, and I was like, that's a brilliant
Oh, pair. They're the Cats are the best models.
Oh, yeah.
The best models.
They like to pose and preen themselves. And
oh, well, they do it effortlessly, I think. I'm like, okay, you got the sunlight, you got your light. I take photo sessions of my cats all the time.
Excellent.
I'm such a cat mom. It's bad.
No, you're going to have that picture now. You're going back, you're sitting there in the pool in Miami where you're on the location, and you're going to go back and have all your cats all around you, like you just said, a proper cat mom. in your apartment.
That's a dream.
Running amok everywhere. Right, I'm going to ask you a signature question now before I let you go. This is one I've asked everybody. And the background is, it's not bad. 2 years ago now, I had a guy on my show who's in Star Wars, but he's worked with Jim Henson for 35 years, I think, doing puppets. He's had his hand stuck up the puppets behind for 35 years, basically. So the question is, if you could have a Muppet created based on yourself, your own personality, what Muppet would it be?
What Muppet?
Yeah. What kind of Muppet?
So one that already exists?
Or it could be a new one, just any kind of Muppet. What kind of character would it be based on your own personality?
Oh my God. So, I mean, my Muppet would definitely have big, big hair.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have big, crazy hair. And there would be, she'd have a big bag with a bunch of little animals in it. And just always talking and eating something. Always talking and eating something.
Okay.
Loud. And maybe her name would be, oh my God. Her name would be Ja 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 Ha Ha Ha. Ja 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 Ha. That'd be what she'd say.
Fair enough. Excellent.
With all our little animals in the basket.
Like, yeah.
Where's the food?
Crazy. Cool. So, I mean, obviously, and Grand Hotel premieres on Monday, 17th.
Holy moly, it's finally here.
I know, it's coming around very, very soon, isn't it? It's only a few days away.
I can't believe it.
So is there anything, which channel is it on again? Just so people can...
ABC. It's going to be on Monday nights, ABC, starting June 17th after The Bachelorette.
Excellent. Fantastic. So that's where people can do it. And is there any, before I stop this recording, is there anything you would like to say to people who are watching or listening? Or who will be watching or listening?
I would say, you know, if you're looking for a sexy drama that you can escape from, you know, you need a vacation and you're not going on vacation, Monday nights are usually, you know, a more chill night. Watch Grand Hotel, you know, make it a meatless Monday, you know, have a veggie meal while watching Grand Hotel. You can tag me in it and I will repost you for every vegan meal you eat, especially if you eat something vegan on Mondays while watching Grand Hotel. My Instagram is at justina.justina. And I also have a vegan account that's at just in a vegan journey.
Oh, thanks, Justina. That was absolutely fantastic. I truly appreciate your time, as always, especially since you're down there partying at the moment for the premiere of Grand Hotel. Looks extravagant and looks fantastic. And I'm not jealous because it's raining and windy here in the UK. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed listening or watching that. It was a fantastic interview, and I look forward to talking to Justina again soon. Big shout out to the Anderson Group Public Relations team for setting this up for me. Hope to work with you for obviously more in the future, as always. And yeah, please follow me. Follow, subscribe to @HellblazerBiz on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, YouTube, Amazon Prime UK, Roku and Vimeo, as well as Buzzsprout, Spotify, wherever you find a podcast, you'll find Hellblazer Biz. Thank you all very much. You have been listening to and watching Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz with Justina Adorno from Grand Hotel.